Good morning and welcome to Rochester Speaks. I'm Bethany B. and joining me today is Our Lady of Mercy School's new principal, Dr. Cheryl Ann Diodato. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Nailed it. Our Lady of Mercy School is a Catholic school for young women grades 6 through 12 in the Rochester area and has been a place for women who make a difference since 1928. How is Our Lady of Mercy life-changing?
I feel that Mercy is life-changing for young women because it's a place where young women can find their confidence, find their voice, have an empowered voice, and develop leadership skills. And our leadership skills come through so many aspects of what we do in our classrooms, on our athletic fields, in performing arts, in our community service. It's really awesome that every student in our building can be a leader, whether they are a leader of a club and they can start their own clubs, or they're captains on their teams, or directors of plays. So it really embeds in our students that feeling of an empowered voice and an advocate for themselves. We have a leadership distinction program that our students in 10th through 12th grade can become a part of and graduate with, and that takes them to a next level. It raises the bar a little bit because they have to take a certain set number of classes that are part of our regular curriculum, but then the next part is including more community service and internship program. Our mission and values of who we are comes from the Sisters of Mercy. And so that value is about compassionate care, hospitality, respect and dignity for all. And so that is also embedded in who we want our young women to be for the future and for where they pursue their careers post-secondarily.
You're the new principal there, right?
I am.
How long have you been there for?
This is my fourth year, actually. I was the dean of the middle school.
Okay.
And then I started this position as interim principal in July, and I was just finally moved into the principalship about 2 weeks ago. So it's very exciting.
You're fresh,
for me.
Brand new.
Brand new. But you know what? It's not a brand new experience. For me, because I'm an alum. I graduated in 93.
Okay.
And so I always say I came back home. And so it feels really comfortable. It also feels weird to be sitting in the principal's office and not to be in trouble.
I feel like you weren't really in trouble when you weren't. You don't seem like the troublemaker to me.
Well, no, I actually worked really hard and followed the rules.
Yes,
I am a rule follower.
That's how I am too.
Yes.
We are finally getting back into normalcy. What, 3 years later?
Mm-hmm.
But there are still a lot of long-term effects since the start of the pandemic. What are some of the challenges in educating young adults that you've been facing or that the students have been facing since the start of the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. It is really a troubling situation for young people. They went through such a long period of isolation. And I know as an adult, I felt the isolation too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was lack of social interaction, lack of interaction with their peers, learning from a computer with their teachers or learning in packets. And so the social, emotional, mental health wellness of our students has exponentially increased. And so I think as educators, we have to start looking at our students and helping to meet them where they're at in their learning, in their social, emotional wellness, in what they need to feel successful at this point. Because of the various types of learning that went on, whether it was synchronous, asynchronous, hybrid, there were so many models across education that happened, we are seeing various gaps. And I think that the largest gaps that in general, as educators, we're seeing is both in literacy and numeracy, English and math. And so because some of the students were really young, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, those are the foundational years for gaining those skills that are really necessary to be able to enter into middle school and high school with fluency and understanding. And so what do we do as educators now? And at Mercy, we were a synchronous learning environment and our students followed the schedule every day. We had a great routine. But again, it's really hard to follow a teacher for 55 minutes online with short attention spans. And we have a lot of students from over 40 different districts that come into Mercy. And so we have to look at each student individually and then think about what supports they're going to need within the classroom or outside the classroom. We have had an academic achievement support program for 4 years now in the middle school, which it carried into the high school for math, which has helped a lot of our students. And yes, there were gaps when we had students coming in prior to the pandemic, but now it's a larger gap. And so, you know, this year, at the beginning of the year, we focused our professional development for our teachers on understanding what do learning disabilities look like in the classroom? What does mental health challenges look like in the classroom? And then what are the strategies that they can use to help a student to engage and feel confident and find their strength in their education? So, you know, it sounds like there should be like a fix and something that we could just change instruction and everything would be great. Yeah. But because there's a huge mental health piece to this, it makes it a little bit more difficult. We've had a wellness center at Mercy for many years where it's a place where the girls are able to take a break if they're feeling anxious or having a panic attack. And they can take us like a tiny minute to calm down. It has games and it's like a mini spa, actually. Part of our counseling department. So we're very fortunate because we have school counselors at our building in the high school and the middle school. You know, they work with our students with any challenge they may have. And we have partnerships with other community resources to refer out for students if they need more intensive support in their mental health needs.
Have you noticed a big increase with depression and social anxiety since the start of the pandemic?
Yes, I would say the anxiety has really increased. I think depression and anxiety sometimes get put together, and a depression can look like an anxiety and an anxiety can look like depression. So I wouldn't be able to like pinpoint that, but we do see a lot more anxiety in students. And, you know, we have a lot of great big events at Mercy, our Spirit Day in the fall and Golden Mass. And we had a Catholic Schools Week assembly. And so we do recognize that those kind of huge events are really hard on students. And so, right, that you go from isolation to coming into a full classroom and then to having big events that we ask students to be a part of. And so for some students, we've had to ease them into that. And even adjusting schedules for students to have like part day schedules so that we can meet their mental health needs, because that transition was a little bit more difficult for them.
I just can't imagine what was going through the kids' minds, because you think, oh, the start of the pandemic, none of us knew what was going to happen.
Correct.
So a lot of kids were like, yes, it's like an extended spring break. Right. This is awesome. And then week two happens, week three, right. And then you're on to months. And the kids need social.
Totally.
To develop those type of skills. They need to be around people and mm-hmm. teachers too, and just mm-hmm. to kind of feel like they are important, which they all are.
Right. And you know what I think it is too, they're so used to their electronics now. Mm-hmm. And so what we're noticing is even to be able, I remember last year when we were all back together and I was in the middle school, and then we brought all the girls back into the cafeteria, and we were like, how is this gonna work? And they kind of came back and they figured it out, but it was tenuous at first. Yeah. And then I remember, so this was like in January, we brought them all back into the cafeteria. Probably by end of March, beginning April, they were more talkative and they felt more comfortable moving around. And so it's definitely taken time. And I think with time, we definitely have seen improvements. But they were using their electronics for everything. And then, you know, their phones and all that. So we always talk about how we are a no cell phone school, often away all day. So even during lunch or their advisement. We don't allow them to have their phones out. We even encourage at the middle school no use of their one-to-one Chromebook during lunchtime, because we want to create those moments for them where they're actually talking to each other and
making eye contact,
right? Because we lost some of those social skills through the pandemic. So I think, again, meeting students where they're at, and it's going to take a few years, I feel like, to really get them back into feeling comfortable on how to handle different social situations. And at Mercy, we provide those opportunities in a different way through events, through community service, through our clubs, then, of course, our sports and our performing arts.
Do all the students at Our Lady of Mercy, do they have to participate in community service or volunteer?
So that's a great question, because the Sisters of Mercy believe that community service comes from the heart. And so we do not have a community service requirement. However, we have community service offered. In the middle school, they are required to have go to ministry day 3 times a year, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So they go to area agencies, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And they go as classmates, and they come back and do a reflection. And so that's, we hope that helps for them to start to understand the importance of community service, because at 12th grade year, they have to do a capstone project on one of our critical concerns of immigration, women, earth, nonviolence, and racism. And so with that community service and working towards that model project, a lot of the girls base their model projects on the community service they did in middle school. But at the high school level, we have Mercy Service, and it's actually online, and we do some projects with McQuaid too. So, you know, we have so much community service going on all the time, and our Golden Mass is a time where we do school community service, collect items for families in the Rochester area, and our stage is full of gifts and wonderful things for families. We did Spirit Day in the fall, and the girls collected over 41,000 cans of food for local food shelters. The middle school collected over 1,700 pairs of socks for House of Mercy. Aww. So community service is embedded in what we do every day. In fact, we just started Mission Month, and our Mission Month project this year is the Ugandan Water Project. This month, there are going to be different fundraisers so that we can collect money to donate to the Ugandan Water Project. So that's part of our mission and values, is community service to others and hospitality and compassionate care. And so it is part of what we do. And the girls really love it. Yes.
I bet. Because I still volunteer, and I'm 31, and I love it. You just get so much out of helping others, and especially the girls at such a young age.
Right.
Just seeing how much they're doing for the community and just the country in general. So it's a great skill for them to have. And I'm sure they'll have it for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have dress down days, and a lot of our dress down days are you pay $1 to dress down, and that goes to a different agency. We partnered with one of our schools in the Philippines, and we collected money for them. So Mercy is part of a big community of 54 different schools across the world. And so it was wonderful for us to be able to use our dress down day money to give to a sister school. So yes, community service is really important for us.
And each year you host multiple fundraising and friend-raising events to support students and the mission. Do you have any upcoming events you could tell us about?
We do, actually. So this is Mercy Mission Month. So that's one that is happening right now. And, you know, we're doing different challenges in school with the students to raise that money for that Ugandan Water Project. But we are celebrating one of our sisters, Sister Dismas' 100th birthday. And there will be a live stream concert event on March 16th at 6:30. And we're hoping to raise money in her name for various things, specifically performing arts. And so she is a wonderful, dear sister who some of us actually had when she was at Mercy. So that's one event we're doing. We are also doing the Mercy Fest on May 13th. It's a little something different that we're trying this year. year, and we're really excited because it includes all of the families, and hopefully community people will be there, more of like a carnival kind of relaxed style atmosphere, have fun on the weekend together to celebrate each other. And then we also have our golf tournament on June 26th. So a lot of different things that happen, and then we have our big gala in November in the fall. So we're very excited about that.
So lots happening the next few months.
Absolutely. Someone just said to me, this is Mercy's March Madness right yes. now. We have a lot going on this month for sure. And then as we go down to May, June, you know, things just ramp up with graduations and all that kind of stuff. Yes, for sure.
It's never ending.
It's but never all good ending. Things. Right. And it can't end because it's joyous and it's celebratory. That's the one thing that I love about my job. There's so much to always celebrate. We had Career Day. We had a ton of alum at Mercy, and it was so fun. And, you know, we even invited the middle schoolers so they could be exposed to different women in our community or in other areas that are Mercy alum, and to hear about where they were mm-hmm. and how their jobs changed. So there's never a dull moment, no. actually, which is awesome.
That's so inspiring, though, just for young women to see what they can become in their future.
Totally, it is. And it's so inspiring as adults to watch mm-hmm. watch them and have them answer questions or ask good questions, because they're inquisitive about their futures, which is so exciting.
How can someone donate to Our Lady of Mercy School?
They can go to our website at mercyhs.com/give. And that's also a way you can get on our website to see what we're about mm-hmm. in our programs.
Your website's very informative.
Thank you. I was
looking on it before our interview. It's very user-friendly, so go check it out. And the website one more time.
mercyhs.com/give.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Cheryl Ann. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. This has been wonderful to talk about a place that I really love. Thank you so much.